I tried to run away from the world. I flee to somewhere free. Free from the fear that follows me. Far from the face that I dare not see. So fast I ran, till I was flung into the star-filled sky. Floating in elated elevation. Thunder, and then rain. I found a flooded fabled town, and drank till my thirst content. No longer to bind myself, or fend, or temper my voice to survive. My thoughts, my mind were regarded, and I thrived. Thrown into thorny theories about heroines that thrill in the very idea of themselves, and thieved of the pride so easily allowed of others. But the town was a facade, the facade a mirror, reflected only to expose the natural flaws, creating a timidness where there need not be, and a doubt that shakes my every conviction. I temper my words again. I bind myself by myself. I thrive no more. I am free no more. Good evening and welcome to Gore, a horror podcast to keep you up at night. I'm the Wicked Kitten, always getting into mischief, and with me, as always, are my creepy co-hosts, the lovely Travis.
Hello.
The endearing, the ethereal Faye.
Hi.
And lastly, the dread you've been feeling since you hit play on this podcast, Dreadly.
Hello.
Felt like you should have said Clarice after that. What the hell are fava beans, by the way? I've never had them.
Yeah, they're not that great.
Yeah.
They're not bad. Nice Chianti. You don't want to eat them with Chianti. It's a bad combination. Especially with liver. Not good.
So.
Oh, no. He seems like an expert. I'll trust his judgment.
Speaking of beans, what you doing? What you watching? How you been, Travis?
I mean, I've been good. I've been playing more Outer Worlds, which has been fun. 3D printing a bunch of stuff recently and getting things together for a D&D campaign.
Woo!
So that's been fun. I did finish Mandalorian Season 3. Finally, I was a bit behind, what with traveling and all that kind of stuff. That's been about it. I haven't, other than Top Gun Maverick, I haven't watched a whole bunch of movies in the past week because I've been, although I did, I take that back. I did two weeks ago, as of this recording, I watched The Relic for nice. What you haven't seen, which was really dark.
Yes,
is the most memorable thing I can say about that movie, and not like tonally, like it's just it's all shot in the dark and you can't see anything. Yeah, and it was just it was a thing Peter Hyams was doing at the time because he made End of Days like a year later, and that was everyone's complaint about End of Days was it was really dark, including Arnold. Arnold was even saying like it's too dark, you can't see anything. So, but yeah, that's been me, pretty quiet around here.
Faye. How you been? What you watching? Where are you? What are you doing? What's up?
Not a lot. Playing more Star Rail. Other than that, I did watch Renfield.
Woo!
Which is really fun. Definitely recommend it.
I gotta get on that.
That's
I have to wait until August.
Pretty much it.
Why?
Because who's in the movie?
And the guest that will be on for that movie has already watched it, so I have to wait until August now.
Ha!
Fucking bastard. You want me to kill them?
It's fine. I don't mind. It's not that far away.
Mm-hmm. So next episode, we're going to spoil Renfield.
Mwah!
I don't think there's anything to spoil. Come on.
Yeah, I don't think that that's really going to be much of an issue.
Yeah, it's like you spoiled a joke that you didn't tell well anyway. I'm wicked. Sorry, go ahead, Faye.
That was it. No. And unless you want me to complain about having to do so much work again.
I mean, you're always welcome to complain about work. It's fun. Dreadly. What the hell have you been up to? Hell being the operative word.
Hell.
We'll make a hell sandwich.
Nom nom. What have I been up to? Well, not much. We're so boring.
It's like it's a trend.
Yeah.
Hey, you call me boring by default.
Your head boring.
And on that note, Dreadly is no longer a part of the podcast.
Oh, no. What have I been doing? Well, on my stream, I've been playing Final Fantasy VII, which is a pretty fun game. I finally made it further than I've ever gotten in it. So, yay me.
And you play the remake afterwards?
That's the plan. Ah. Maybe not immediately after, but yeah. And not on stream, I've just been playing through all the Pixel remasters on my Switch. Because, yeah, I might have a thing with Final Fantasy. But those versions are great and definitely the best way to play them.
I know, I just Seriously. Feel like I want to. There's a Pixel remaster for 4, right?
Yes. Yeah. 1 through 6.
1 through 6.
My worry is that I will have bought Final Fantasy IV for like the 9th time and played it on like the 7th different platform. And
I'm currently playing 4.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not worth it. It's just like I've bought that game so many times. Like I've bought Final Fantasy IV more times than most people have bought Skyrim.
I've bought 7 so many times.
And Square Enix knows. but to say they added a small thing to the Switch version, and that is that you can just disable random encounters, which is such a godsend. And then I go stream Final Fantasy VII, where I can't do that, and I'm like,
But that's how you level.
Right. How do you grind yes. out levels if you're not getting random encounters, though?
But sometimes you are in a place where you're trying to find your way through a maze like a layout, and if you get interrupted every second, you get crazy. Yes.
but that's part of the gameplay.
Uh-huh.
That's part of the experience. Yeah. It's going crazy. Or getting so strong that you just kill everything on the field in one hit.
Yeah. But I don't like over-leveling, so sometimes it gets, you know.
But that takes away the fun. You want to be over-leveled, so you can just wipe the floor with everything.
No, I want some, you know.
What, you want a challenge?
Yes.
Turn off XP gain, then.
Oh, that's also a thing they added on the Switch versions. You can actually alter the XP and gold gain. You can lower it or increase it if you want easy mode. Definite versions of those games. Movies. We had our monthly patron movie night, and it was my turn to decide a movie. Mm. And we watched In the Mouth of Madness.
Yes.
Great movie.
Yes. Wonderful movie. Good choices.
He's a very good movie.
I said choices, I meant choice, but whatever, we move on.
Well, I chose both the mouth and the madness. So, No, that was a different story. So if you're listening to this and you want to get in on that pot action, you know, go check out Patreon. Another movie I've watched is the amazing Hell's Kitty.
Yeah. I found this movie randomly, just scrolling through, you know, movies and stuff. And I'm like, Hell's Kitty, I wonder what that's about. And so I watched the trailer because, you know, Fire Stick, you can watch the trailers and stuff. And it was just such a great, horrible trailer that I had to show Dredd. And immediately he was like, I have to get this movie. That was my best Dredd impression, by the way.
Mm-hmm. And I did.
And you still haven't even watched The Uninvited.
True. For shame.
But Hell's Kitty is definitely worth it, because, yes, there's a cat in it.
And it's got,
and it's evil. And it has a way too many
amazing
way
cameos.
Too many horror people in it, where I don't know how the director got them to be in this. He must have blackmailed them. I don't know.
There's Adrian Barbeau, Kelly Maroney.
We have two people from Children of the Corn their Children
Malachi.
Of the Corn outfit.
Yeah, Malachi and what's the little one's name? The little guy? I've forgotten his name.
Isaiah,
there you go. Both of them in their corn gear. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. And there's a book about corn things. Yeah, they're making all the jokes about it as well. Anyway, plenty of those, and it's really, you should watch it just for that alone.
Yeah. The Hills Have Eyes guy.
Yes.
Michael Berryman, there we go.
And funnily enough, there is it's about a cat, and one of the people who played Catwoman in a very old Batman, I don't know if it's the series, I guess.
Which one was it?
Her name.
Julie Newmar?
Probably. I don't know.
No. It was...
Well, it's either Julie Newmar, Lee Merriweather, or Eartha
Lee
Kitt.
Lee Merriweather, that's it.
Eartha Kitt passed away, so Lee Merriweather was in the movie. Batman the movie.
Ah, there you go. She's in it, actually... making fun of also that. So yeah,
because it's a cat movie, you know, get it?
Yep. As she's reading Catwoman magazine.
And there are more horror cameos in there. That's just all we could think of.
Way too many. Still no clue how.
What is going on for this cheesy thing?
Mm-hmm. Another cheesy thing that I've watched finally, is Evil Dead Rise. See what I did there? It's cheese grater. Cheese grater scene.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. I haven't seen it, so.
Oh, that was in the trailer. So.
He hasn't watched the trailers either.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's his. You're on a horror podcast. Jesus Christ. Nah. Finally watched it, and I enjoyed it greatly. Yeah. Very creepy.
Yeah, my opinion slightly differs, but it's definitely worth a watch, and I think a lot of people will be happy with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't my favorite, but it wasn't I'll use the same thing. Like I liked it, I didn't love it, that kind of thing. So go watch it.
Did you like the remake?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it. So that's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of people like the 2013 one. And so I think if you like that one, you probably like this one, too. So yeah. I think, yeah, that's what I've been hearing from some of the people who've already seen it.
Fair.
Other movies we watched was The Birds. to go a little different
That's direction. A classic.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I forgot how long that movie was.
It's 2 hours long. Jeez.
Yes, it doesn't feel that way. It's so strange.
That's what happens when you get someone who can shoot a movie well. It doesn't feel like it's over 2 hours long or whatever. Or 2 hours perfectly. I can't remember if it was like a couple minutes. And not the point. But, God, I love that movie. It's just fun. Also, I'm afraid of birds now because of it. Birds and clowns. Not clowns because of that movie. I just mean that.
Yes, all the clown birds in that movie. They were something.
Yeah, oh, just remember, birds aren't real.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and always a fun time. Followed up the birds with rewatching Psycho, which we've already done on the show, but just another. Is that can't an ever, opinion fan?
Can't ever watch that movie too many times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We all go a little mad sometimes.
Exactly.
Sometimes we stay that way.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's about it.
Joe Bob.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Bob. We also watched Joe Bob.
Yes. We technically... Yeah, we only have the 1 week because we recorded on the Saturday. But the first movie that they played was a movie called Don't Panic. And wow, all I can say is I want those freaking pajamas. Jeez, what a good episode, though. That was really fun. Very cheesy movie. Good time with friends, that whole thing, you know. And pajamas.
Everybody wants those pajamas.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, if Vinegar Syndrome comes out with them again, if you're listening to this, which I know you're not, but come out with those pajamas again in all sizes. Actually, I don't even need the pants. Just make like a really long top with like dinosaurs and stuff, you know?
A nightshirt?
Yeah, like a nightshirt. I'll do that.
And Wicked, what did you watch?
So I watched some of the same movies as well, but I finally watched the movie Sissy that's on Shudder. Wow. Talk about, like, that's got to be like a Gen Z movie. I enjoyed it. It is, you know, when we call movies of its time, that is of its time, and that time is now. And, yeah, I enjoyed that.
But Sissy is a very old movie. In the mountains with singing and princesses. No?
What? What are you talking about?
I'm not sure. Anyway.
Different Sissy.
It's basically, it's a horror movie about an influencer. So, like, it's just, it's quite interesting. Quite interesting, if you're into that sort of thing. I also watched I don't remember if I mentioned this last time, but I watched a very cheesy 1981 slasher called Final Exam, which is really terrible. Like, it's not on the, oh, this is great, I'm going to watch this all the time or every year or something list. It's more on the, like, I don't know how I didn't see this. And wow, there's a lot of little racist touches in this movie, isn't there? So, yeah. It was real dumb. I say give it a shot because it's on Shudder, and, you know, just watch it because it's, you know, it's an 80s slasher. But if I'm telling you it's dumb, yeah,
that's,
it's probably.
That's saying a lot. I will save that for watching with a group of people and not watch it by myself.
Yes, or after you've been hit in the head with a hammer, maybe.
Ah, yes, when recovering from a head injury. Perfect.
Can't read my own handwriting. Oh no, that just says terrible 80s slasher. Okay. And I happen to rewatch a classic movie now that I really appreciate from the 80s. Something we've covered on this show with the most bangingest theme song of all time.
We're gonna have a good time.
Gonna have a good
Yeah, we're going to have a good time.
We're going on a fall break. That's right. Fall Break, or better known as The Mutilator. Don't ask me why we watched this movie. I did. Leave me alone. Don't judge me. I enjoy it. Man, that blonde guy just is horrible. He is the worst actor ever. But it, I don't know. It's just fun. And the theme song had me going. I mean, it's very reminiscent of, These are the best times. That's what I'm saying. We're into this music.
Getting worse.
It's mm-hmm. okay.
They're not good.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I also watched the Boston Strangler movie called The Boston Strangler. And it's not a horror movie, but Keira Knightley, she's lovely. I say check it out. I don't know. I find it interesting because it's like more of a dramatized retelling of something. And that always makes things way more palatable for me than watching, say, like a documentary. Although I do like documentaries, but sometimes they can be a bit too intense, depending on what they're talking about. Whatever, it's a good movie, just watch it.
Okay, fine. If you're going to badger me about it.
Well, I think it's about that time to peek around that corner and give you some of the highlights of horror news.
Yes, and first of all, Bombi. Respect to the man in the ice cream van! Because we're apparently somehow, finally, maybe... I guess getting a sequel to Ice Cream Man?
Yes.
How?
Yes. It is written. I'm going to say, looking at the script, it is written by Clint Howard and the original director of the, you know, the first movie, obviously.
Yeah, that sequel that everyone's been clamoring for decades.
Yeah, every
you know something?
Year I wake up.
Years of people
talking about we need a sequel to Ice Cream Man. Like I hear it, you know, weekly.
Yeah, you joke about it, but you have no idea the amount of people. I mean, Darcy's a fan of this movie, and right there, that should just tell you that there is a cult following for this.
There's indeed an amount of people.
But there's a difference between a cult following and people that like the movie and clamoring for a sequel, which I have never heard anyone say.
Aww.
That's all. It's fine. You know what? It'll be fine. It's fine. We saw the first one, I think on Joe Bob, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Cause they brought in Clint Howard.
Yeah. I think it was like last summer or something. Right.
And you know, it's fine. Nothing wrong with that. And cool. They're making a sequel. And honestly, I don't have a problem with sequels to you know, cult classics like that. It's fine, whatever. Like, I'm just saying, this was not a movie people were clamoring for. We need a sequel to Ice Cream Man. I will not rest until Ice Cream Man has a follow-up. I have questions that need to be answered.
Well, I mean,
kind of much like the next movie that we are hearing about a sequel to. Honestly, I mean, if I'm being completely honest,
this one everybody has been clamoring for. Beetlejuice.
Yeah, 30 years ago. They were clamoring for a sequel 30 years ago.
Notice we have a theme this week in the news. Movies that no one really thought about having a sequel for, but maybe, but they wanted, but they didn't.
Yeah, Michael Keaton's coming back, and it's Jenna Ortega. So I'm all aboard. Let's go.
Yeah, because she's definitely not getting typecast at all.
And they added Monica Bellucci, which is a Monica, which always makes me happy.
It also means there's a non-zero chance we will see Monica Bellucci's boobs in this movie. I'm just saying. There's always a non-zero chance that she will get topless in a movie.
I did not know that.
I am now interested in this movie.
Yes, I am now interested in this movie.
Have you not ever seen
your menu?
The boobs?
I don't remember what movies she's been in, to be honest. I just like Monica's, because like
So Monica Potter is in, she's in Saw. She's in the remake of Last House on the Left. And Monica Keena's in Friday the 13th and whatnot. And so, like, I just love when there's Monicas in movies. And this is just another Monica. But I think, too, anything. Like... What have I seen her in?
Monica Bellucci?
Yeah.
Well, she was in Brotherhood of the Wolf. She was in a bunch of French movies. She was in...
French movies. Enough said about boobs.
Couple Matrix movies.
Boobs are literally like just...
It's just like a box they check character. When they're making a French movie.
It's a character in a French movie at this point.
It's like we've got the opening. All right. We've got act one. We've got the boobs. We've got act two. And
No. Yeah. They're French. They say we got the opening. We got le boob.
Le boob.
And le fan.
And they have le cigarette. And then
le cigarette. The same way. Yeah. Cigarette and croissants.
And cigarettes.
Breakfast of the French.
Boobs.
Well, we won't have to wait long. As they have announced that it's going to be September 6th of 2024 in order to find out if she'll show.
Now, legacy sequels have been on my mind lately, too, because I just talked about this recently with Top Gun Maverick, a sequel that was, a sequel to a movie 36 years later or whatever it was. And now we're getting Beetlejuice 2 in 2024. And the first movie was 1988, 87. I think it was 87.
Right. Something like that.
So 30 plus years later, we're seeing more of these. I feel like it really got started with Tron was the first one I can remember where it was like, oh, we're going to remake a movie that's 20 something years old. And we're seeing more of them now. Creed, all that kind of stuff. So it's been on my brain lately. Like we're doing a lot of this legacy sequel.
Did you say Blade Runner?
Blade Runner was one. Yep. Indiana Jones.
That's a good topic, though, to talk about, like, the whole legacy sequel, requel thing.
Ghostbusters.
That's another one. That was a lot of my most recent Wait You Haven't Seen was discussing that with Top Gun Maverick because it was a really well done movie. Is it taken as well if it's not a legacy sequel to Top Gun, if it's just a standalone movie versus having that built in nostalgic? Ghostbusters is another one, although... Mm-hmm. That is an example of a very well done legacy sequel and a better passing of the torch than some of them have been. But I think Tron Legacy is a very good sequel that is sadly underrated. It was also a little bit ahead of its time. Like it got very ambitious visually for stuff that it couldn't quite pull off yet, but that at the same time it did really, really well.
Yeah.
So, awesome soundtrack.
Also, same director as Top Gun Maverick, Joseph Kosinski.
I just got to point this out because my brother and his family are in Disney World right now or Florida. And there's a new Tron ride. And he sent me pictures of them riding it. It looks like the coolest fucking thing ever.
The light cycles? So
it's like they look cool because they're just like you can't not look cool on that friggin' bike thing.
Oh, yeah.
And like the wind blowing through their hair. And I just like that's the only reason I would ever go to Florida is to ride that one ride.
I mean, I will defend Tron Legacy as a movie because I think it's actually very good.
I haven't
very
seen
good and the music either is amazing. Of them,
to be honest. I've listened to the soundtrack for some reason, but not watched the movie. I know. I have to go watch it. I will. I promise.
Daft Punk. How can you go wrong?
I know. I like Daft Punk.
Now we're back on the French. And now for tonight's feature presentation. We're lost.
No, we're not, man. We're just like, in between two places where we know where we're at.
Oh, I told you we should have just bought some grass from our local dealer, bro.
Yeah. You keep saying that, man. But like, believe me, once we get our hands on this special Colombian grass, man.
I don't get it. What's so special about it?
Well, man, for starters, it stays green, man. Like no matter how hot and dry it gets,
And it's super easy to mow.
Wait. When you said grass, you meant actual grass?
Of course, man. Like, what did you think we meant?
This just keeps getting better and better.
Ugh, Can we stop the car and ask for directions already?
Look, there's a lady with a bunch of chickens. Let's ask her.
Hey, man, like, excuse me, but could you point us in the direction of, like, the Craven Mansion?
Sure can, sweetie. Just keep driving up this way, then turn around, because you're going in the wrong direction. When you come back around, pick me up, because I need to go there as well.
Ah, can't we just turn around right here?
Guess that makes more sense.
What about your chickens?
Oh, don't worry. They'll coop.
All right, man. Like, where to?
Just drive a mile down this road, then take a right, and it's the last house on the left.
But how do we know which is the last one?
The last house on the left is a 1972 American exploitation horror film written, directed, and edited by Wes Craven in his directorial debut. Craven based the film on the 1960 Swedish film The Virgin Spring, directed by Ingmar Bergman. It is an adaptation that has captured the mind of most anyone who's seen it, for good or for ill. Its brutalness lives in infamy while its message is clear. There's no place like home. But home isn't what it used to be. And it never will be again. I want to add in there that this movie has some very serious things in it. You know, so this is like a trigger warning to anyone listening that we're not going to go into deep detail because we're not going to go into deep detail. But it will be mentioned and that might be enough. So, but there is some sexual assault in here. So, I guess I'd rather ask each of you, like, what was your experience watching this? Or how do you, you know, Travis, go ahead.
I mean, it's a 70s exploitation film. It feels a lot like watching something from John Waters in a lot of ways. It's very cheaply made. It's very amateurish in terms of the acting and the sound quality. Parts of it are extremely obviously dubbed over. And then the microphones always are, you know, very echoey in the room, but those, and I think it's movies like this that, cause I've talked about before, not liking the sort of home invasion style horror. And it's this type of that movie, because when we watched, what was the one with the hearing impaired writer?
Hush.
I don't know why I couldn't think of that, but like Hush is home invasion style horror, but there's something about that type of filmmaking that makes it not as difficult of a subject matter to watch. Whereas this, because it's so cheaply made, because it's so like almost guerrilla style filmmaking, and it's very visceral in the cheapness of it. And it's very grimy, that grindhouse feel to it. Makes it a lot tougher to watch. And that's before you learn about how making the movie was rough for like the one actress. She had a rough time of it because the other actors were staying very much in character and it was not easy for her, but it's just in it's a movie that shows very dark side of humanity and mm-hmm. It's just not an easy thing to watch. You know, so like if we weren't doing it for this show, I probably wouldn't watch it again. It's that kind of a movie. I've seen it. I know, you know, I think that it has a place in cinema. It's kind of like watching, you know, for me, it's kind of like watching something like Cannibal Holocaust. If you're going to watch that for a critical reason, I sort of understand it, but it's not something that I would seek out because that style of filmmaking is pretty rough. And this is that same, it's not exactly the same. Like obviously Wes Craven didn't have to go to trial and bring the actors in to prove he didn't actually kill them. Although this was marketed in, I can't remember what country it was, as like Germany. A snuff film. Was it Germany? Yeah.
Bumby, that's for you.
But it's just, you know, it's very, amateur acting. It's very amateur filmmaking. You can tell that it's somebody's first movie, but it's got the bones of good filmmaking. Wes Craven, you got Sean Cunningham producing it. Mm-hmm. They were working together. There's pieces of it where you can see that, but it's just it's not an easy thing to watch, and the subject matter is just so rough, and it's so raw in the presentation of it. It doesn't glorify anything, but it also doesn't sugarcoat anything either. So yeah, it's you know, it's that's what it is, and for that, it's very effective. This kind of horror, and that's exploitation horror, is effective, but it's not something that I enjoy.
Yeah,
I guess would be the way to put it.
Yeah, that's definitely why I didn't want to ask anyone if they enjoyed the film, you know, because it's like, I don't think anyone, well, I know there are people who love this type of movie and like Cannibal Holocaust is their flavor. And, you know, that's your choice and stuff. Everybody's got their limits. You know, my brothers used to watch those Faces of Death things. Like, we thought that was real back then, right? So, but yeah, Faye. How about you?
I felt like I needed to take multiple showers after seeing it.
Yeah.
No. I the only way I actually completed the movie was because of this podcast.
Had you never seen it before?
Nope. Wasn't even on my radar. Nope. I did not like it at all.
Yeah, and I mean, some of that's by design, right? None of the characters are really likable, especially the gang of four.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah,
like they have no redeeming qualities whatsoever, but like they do that on purpose. So
I'm going to have to challenge you on that. There's one likable character in this movie.
The kid.
And we'll talk about it in the 13.
Okay. Mm.
No, I mean, the only thing I liked was the ending.
Cat.
the revenge. Okay. That was the only thing I really cared for.
I get you. I thought you were making the joke like when the movie finished, but no. You liked the revenge. No. Yeah. That's definitely the most redeeming part of the movie, if there was one.
In all honesty, this movie felt like it was supposed to be you see what happens when you take drugs? You'll get murdered. That's all I've got from this movie.
Well.
Because they were looking to score some grass.
And yeah, they just picked the wrong people.
Yeah. We'll get to that also in the 13. Dreadly, how's about you?
I think this was probably...
Have you seen this before?
No. I knew about it. I have seen certain scenes in, you know, like documentaries and stuff. But I've never watched it completely just because it doesn't really interest me to see this kind of movie. Overall, the movie was, well, it looked terrible as how it was shot and all that. The sound was terrible. good thing... our dear friend Wes made better movies after this. It was a movie, and I mean, I didn't hate watching it for one time. Not like I'm going to watch it again. Like, yeah. It was good music in it.
Which, you know, it's interesting because that actor played such a total douche canoe throughout the movie, but he made some good music. Because that was all Dan Hess doing the music.
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm. So, this was not my first time watching this movie. It is very much an infamous film that, you know, has been talked about many a place, and it was always something that I wanted to watch because I didn't know what the hell was in it, right? I remember the first time that I watched it, I didn't really understand what was going on in the movie, and I knew that it was like, you know, gritty and grimy, but like at the time that I watched it, this movie didn't look as bad as it looked this time around watching it, because obviously we've gotten to a completely different standard of, you know, what stuff looks like. So it was especially bad looking in the film aspect of it. But I feel like I saw things a lot differently this time around. And I really saw more of like the messaging, and I saw more of the black comedy and the silliness and stuff that was on the opposite side of the really horrible crap that they did. But the messaging was very clear. You know, this movie was not going to let it be okay with you. They didn't romanticize the sexual assault. They didn't make it seem over the top. They made it as realistic and brutal as they could. They made you feel shame for watching this movie. And I think because of that, and me being older watching it now, and actually getting more of the themes within the movie and understanding those things, and you know, when I watched this for the first time, I was a little girl, probably a teenager, I guess. But while what I watched wasn't okay with me, growing up watching movies of the 70s and 80s, there was a lot of this kind of thing in it. There was a lot of horrid stuff that we saw, and a lot of movies that just made it seem like it was a thing that happened, and it was just like on to the next scene, and the movie, maybe it was really funny or just like it was a horror movie, but they didn't dwell on the fact that it was actually such a horrible thing. And I think that even lasted well on into the 90s and, you know, even the 2000s. A lot of our thoughts today are very different. And, you know, Wes Craven didn't make a movie that glorified this type of violence. But he also didn't make a movie that let you forget about it. And it was well ahead of its time, to be honest. Watching it a second time at a different age really made me see stuff differently. It's kind of like this thing that happens as you get older, these movies that you watch when you're looking out of a, you know, like a 14, 15 year old kid's eyes, and you see the world a certain way. And as you grow up and you experience things in the world, and your intelligence grows every, you know, everything with everything that you learn, basically. I don't know how to describe it. It makes you feel kind of bad too, because like there's such horrid stuff in this movie, but there's also stuff that I liked, and my feelings about all of that together are just kind of confusing, you know. But yeah, I definitely appreciated it more this time around, and I appreciated I'm sorry. I had fun with the characters on the side, the silly, the idiot cops and whatnot.
I feel like Wes Craven must have had like just bumbling idiots in his town where he grew up as police officers, because the cops in all of his movies are always completely useless.
And I feel like that's a theme. He's trying to tell us something.
And I mean, as far as the visuals of the movie go, I get it. It was made for $90,000. All right. Mm-hmm. Even adjusted for inflation today, that's like a $600,000 movie. That's less than they spent to make those movies, The Barn, that we watched. I will give them credit for making some of the most realistic looking fake blood for the time.
That stuff looked great.
Because it actually had like a proper coloring and kind of. It looked a lot better than most fake blood in, especially movies in the 70s had.
I had no problem with the effects. The effects were fine. It's just.
Well, the subject matter, and it's designed to be unsettling and difficult to watch. And it succeeds in that, because it's not an easy thing to watch. And that was especially at the time that this was made, that was very much a thing that would happen. And it's that rawness, the cheap nature of everything and the rawness of the type of film that it is just amplifies all that even more. Like if this is really polished and kind of, you know, slick high budget production, I don't think it's as difficult to watch as it is when it's grainy and grimy and gritty like that, it feels like you're just watching somebody's home movies.
Yeah.
Which it feels a lot more difficult.
It feels a lot creepier and a lot more real. And the fact that like most of the actors, you don't even know who they are. You don't recognize them from anything. Cause especially now we're so far removed from it that it's just who the hell are you?
Yeah. In the case of Sandra Peabody, she only acted for a couple more years and then stopped.
Is that the main girl?
Yeah, Mary.
Yeah. I will tell you a funny story about my mom, which is interesting. But I remember the first time that I think I rented this movie to watch it. You know, I had never seen it before. And so I rented and I tell my mom like, oh, I'm watching this movie. And she's just like, oh, I went to see that in the theater. And I was like, my mom is not a horror person. So I thought that was quite interesting. But she goes on to tell me the story about how she went with her sister and my aunt, my dad's sister. So like the three ladies, and she's driving because she just got like her, you know, car and her license and stuff, and she gets lost on the way to the theater, and they end up in like this really rural area that looks like, you know, like foresty and all kinds of stuff, right? And they make their way to finally to the theater, and they watch the movie, and afterwards my mom's like, thank God we got lost on the way here. She's like, if we got lost on the way home, I would have freaked out. So I always remember that. And then I watched the movie and I was like, I can't believe my mom watched this. Holy shit. And back in like, you know, 1972. And so I brought it up to her that we were going to do it on the show. And she was just like, oh yeah, I watched that movie. I'm like, you told me the story before, right? And I said something about the movie and she's like, I really don't remember anything. But can you guess the one scene my mom remembered?
Was it by the water?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the one scene my mom remembered. And I was like, good.
He's not little. You just scared him.
I have to take issue real quick with an IMDb trivia for this movie.
We should have music for that, by the way. Little
there should be like a little, yeah. So, all right, I'm going to read this to you, and then I will tell you why I take issue with it. Jeremy Rain, who was Sadie in the movie, said in the making of documentary, she was walking on a sidewalk when a mother and her young son saw her. The little boy pointed at Jeremy and said, I hate you. The little boy's mother told him, no, sweetie, you hate Sadie. To which the boy responded, no, mommy, I hate her. Horseshit. That didn't happen because there's no way that a mom would let their little son watch this movie.
It was a different time. This is in the making
of documentary. You're not, this movie was definitely not something you were taking your kid to see. I refuse to believe that exchange happened with a little boy, unless that little boy was like 19.
Uh huh.
Well, did they say how old the little boy was, too?
It says little boy.
Yeah. Little boy usually implies, like, what, under 10, right?
Usually, yeah.
Just say young man, if it was, like, 16 or something. Because I could believe 16 or, like, 15 or something found the movie and tried to watch it. But
I could maybe buy that. Maybe buy that, but not little boy.
Yeah, they wouldn't say little boy. I don't know about that.
That one seems very suspect.
Yeah. And the fact that he remembers her name was Sadie. Like, who friggin' remembers anyone's name in that movie?
I don't know. I do know that apparently Fred Lincoln, who played Weasel, like regrets making this movie. Won't talk about this movie at all.
Yeah.
He apparently, there was like several trivia things. Several. I even saw an article where somebody mentioned that. And he was a hardcore porn actor in the 70s and 80s. That's actually, I think, how Wes Craven met him. because Craven started off working on X-rated films prior to this.
Yeah, actually, like, this was supposed to be like a porn movie to begin with. And I read that and I was like, what? This was what?
Yeah.
That, okay. And then, you know, they changed to a horror, which it's a rough movie. And I get like it affected a lot of people. And, the subject matter is just very intense, but also that's the guy who gets his, you know, penis chomped.
Numbed.
Yes. I read a review somewhere in here and I can't remember who the person was that did the review. And after I say this, we'll move on. But like their whole thing was like, calling Wes Craven, was it Wes Craven depraved, or maybe it was Sean Cunningham? It was one of them. They're calling him depraved, and then saying like that it was so horrible that they had this woman peeing on herself. And I was like,
yeah, that was Gene Siskel.
I was like, that's what you have an issue with? Like, that's the thing you're gonna, that's it? That's the peeing is the problem. Okay. Because I'm like, if you said the sexual assault or whatever, that fine, but like I just thought it was so funny that he said the peeing thing, like as if that was the worst thing in the movie, and it wasn't. But you know what it's time for?
The 13.
The 13 is a specially cultivated list of tropes or favorite things from horror movies. This list may change or be adjusted as time goes on and in real time because this is real life. And to avoid fainting, keep repeating, it's only a movie. It's only a movie. It's only a movie. Number one, kitty cat.
Hell yeah. Our only likable character.
The kitty cat in the beginning.
And that cat has a lot in it.
Which the killers have. I want to point that out. That the killers had a cat.
But they also killed a dog.
Yeah. Did they? Wait a minute.
They talk about that on the radio. No, it's mentioned on the radio.
No. Surprisingly, the dog. The way the radio said it was hilarious.
But it was like, oh, they broke out of prison and killed two guards. Oh, man, I don't know. And a dog. Kill them now. Flay the flesh from their bones. Like, that's it. I don't care. I haven't even seen them yet, and I want them dead. And then they just got worse.
But the kitties were cute. I mean, the kitty, just the one.
The kitty was fine.
The kitty was a sweetie. We don't know what happened to the kitty, though.
Hopefully it's probably better this way.
It. Number two, Volkswagen. No.
It's no. Station wagons and a crappy police cruiser that the guy doesn't... That Cobra Kai man doesn't know how to put gas in.
No, but what I did find funny, and Dredd saw this, but when they're leaving the apartment,
all right, really funny. A junior dude is holding down the escape ladder. They all go down, and then he wants to release the ladder to go up, but he goes up with the ladder, and they cut up. They cut, but you can see him like, wee!
He's just like hanging in the air. I love that. Number three, scary location time of the year. The last house on the left.
Well, you know, woods.
Yeah, woods. Although, woods is easy.
Woods cemetery.
It's the last house on the left, but the house was to the right of where the car broke down.
Well, yeah. It depends what side you're coming from. Jesus.
I'm saying where the car broke down, the direction that they were going, the house was on the right. So,
and they were on the left because they had to go across the street to get to the house.
It's very confusing title is what I'm saying.
How do you know?
But
how
do you my know? Point being, the scary location is the last house on the left, and this movie created it, and it is forever It's funny that the terms from the movie are more widely used than the actual, like, you know, stuff of the movie, so to speak. Like, it's the last house on the left. It's like Friday the 13th or something like that. Like, it's just synonymous. But also the woods, yes, the woods. There's a little lake. Also the city. The city was dangerous, yeah, for like, but then
5 minutes.
You brought the city. Well, you didn't bring it yourself, technically. They just happened to, you know, like you do. Number four. Oh, it's also, sorry, before I go on to four, it's also her birthday, which is really freaking horrible.
Mm-hmm. And can I just mention how fast the parents were to give away that birthday cake?
Yeah. The cop's eating it when he's, like, asking them questions. Just
sitting
there eating.
Go to waste.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, yeah, I guess you're right.
Some people bribe the cops with money. She bribes the cops with cake.
So it's a cupcake.
Get out.
Yeah, you can just leave.
Okay.
Number four, meta horror, fourth wall breaks, mentioning the title.
Never mentioned the title. No fourth wall breaks. Kind of. No, Wes hadn't gotten fully meta yet either.
Nope. Number five, archetype characters. Crazy Ralph from Friday the 13th. Randy from Scream. Creepy kids, creepy clowns.
Stupid cops.
Stupid cops, yeah. Yes. Very good. Vengeful parents. Fuck yeah.
Rightfully vengeful parents.
Fuck yep, yeah.
You got your vengeful parents, your dumb cops, your sadistic... killers. They just like they, you know, no redeeming qualities. They just exist to do all sorts of horrible things to anybody that they come across because they just enjoy it.
And I guess you also have the one evil guy that is trying to stop them but is too weak to actually stop them.
Yeah.
You usually have one of those, you know.
Fucking sad as shit, by the way.
And that's supposed to be his son.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some age issues there, but yeah. That's really, it's amazing. That's probably like one of the saddest stories, like of the characters, I mean, in the movie.
Yes, and his knowledge of engines is not good.
Oh my God. That is my favorite line. I see what the problem is.
This came out.
He pulls the dipstick out and he's like, it's covered in oil. Even I know you're an idiot, man. Like, that was just the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah. And I could have this thing refurbished and rebuilt in 10 minutes. Yeah, no, you can't.
Number six. Pointless boobies, weird wangs, moonies, Fanny.
All of it.
Yeah.
Right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 70s. That was a thing. That is one thing that I do miss. I don't know. There's something different about 70s nudity than like 80s nudity and beyond.
Well, it was. I don't
know how quite to describe it.
It's exploitation cinema, and it's not really like that style of movies didn't continue on in the same way. And there was something about the way they did them in the 70s that's unique.
Not to mention the car sex.
Oh my God.
Also, that I think too, it's a lot of like, that was a time before you got a lot of heavily done either makeup or any kind of cosmetic surgeries prior to people getting into acting. Like these are, there's something about just the way everyone looked then that's different than Hollywood today.
Mm-hmm. Natural versus modified.
Which I think makes a difference. So I kind of stomped all over Carsex.
Yes. Yes, but it was weird Carsex because it was like, you know, next to your friend and behind your son.
So it was fitting that Travis was talking while you mentioned to Carsex because it was like in the movie.
Yeah, like the dude just kept talking about other stuff. Mm-hmm. Ruining.
Well, at least we got
ruining my rhythm.
At least we got to a good conversation about fruit and
number 7, telling, retelling the legend and/or establishing the movie's rules, breaking Randy's rules, saying I'll be right back, let's split up, don't go in there.
All drugs are bad.
Yes. Yep, drugs are bad.
Yes.
Also,
they were doing drugs. They were looking for drugs. There you go.
We also learned apparently that Colombian grass is better. No idea why.
Me neither.
But, you know, they got coke, so probably have good grass. I don't know.
Yeah. I thought maybe he was making it up, but I don't know. Because I don't know nothing about drugs.
So if you know about drugs, please write to us and no.
I'm not an expert. Number 8, dance sequence, montage sequence.
I mean, we get our booby trap montage.
That's true. I guess that's technically a montage. I mean, when they're like driving and stuff.
Kind of. I mean, who knew this movie inspired Home Alone?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, Dredd made the same joke, and I want to point out another movie that came out after this, but before Home Alone, that had booby traps, and that was A Nightmare on Elm Street. I wonder who directed that. No, Wes Craven.
Are we sure Wes Craven hasn't directed Home Alone? Are we
booby
sure?
Traps. Booby traps. But I love it because it's in these two movies, but yet. Like, Home Alone gets all the street cred for booby traps.
Because a kid did it.
I know. But in any case, still. First has dibs. Number 9. Scary score, spooky soundtrack. Is this the kind of music that'll keep us humming?
Well, I can sum that up in about...
Mm-hmm. This is Dan Hess. This is your main villain of the movie made this song. But it just doesn't fit the tone of the movie. It's very discordant with that. That also kind of gave me that, you know, that John Waters feel in some parts. It's that exploitation style movie.
Yeah, so like exactly, because of the mixture of like brutality and severe shit happening in the movie, mixed with the black comedy, the slapstick, and this really, like Travis said, discordant thing of like these like weird sounds throughout the movie in the score and this song in particular. It was very weird and very I could get why the sound doesn't work for a lot of people,
but it stays in your fucking head.
Yeah, it's definitely stuck in my head. I will give it that. And yeah, Number 10. That scared the shit out of me. Jump scares, one last scare, and other creepy shit. Human beings in general.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, also, Daddy with a Chainsaw. The end.
That was also the longest chainsaw fight.
Oh, yeah.
Get him!
Number 11. Someone does stupid shit. Or, name your favorite trope.
Well, the police, basically, in general.
Yes.
And that there's that abandoned car, and he even has the sheriff literally says, we've got better things to do. We're not going to find that girl looking for that, you know, investigating this abandoned car. Like, yes, you will.
And you absolutely would. So
well, completely useless. I kind of believe, like, she disappeared in the city.
Yeah, but
what are the odds that they show up right in front of her house? Because that's
Sure. I can see what you're saying there, but they're literally the sheriff and deputy of this county. Their job is to investigate shit like that, and they just ignored it.
Yeah. They should have checked it out.
But should have.
Idiots.
Looking for drugs in a bad part of town.
Yes. They knew that that kid was weird. They didn't know them. They followed him up to the building.
Yes. You stay downstairs and you say, you go get it. And we'll stay here waiting for you. Yes.
Oh, yeah. So, that was a big one.
So for me, honestly, like the tale wasn't about do drugs and you die. It was about be a fucking idiot and then you die. Because they should not have gone up there. It's fine if they asked the guy on the street, that's one thing, and then walked away. Maybe bad stuff would have still happened, but they're the ones that went up there. And that was really, really, really dangerous in general. Just, you don't know what's there. You don't know anything.
Even, and this is one of those few times where I'm not going to say like, oh, it was a different time. It was the 70s. No, you wouldn't be dumb enough to do that back then even. You're not following somebody up to the apartment.
Supposedly the one girl was from that side of town. So you'd think why?
Yeah. She would know even more so like, no, you go get whatever it is and we'll wait here with money.
Mm. I also liked how the dad was looking through all his stuff to in the end realize he has a gun and take the gun. Like that would be the first thing you say.
Right. Oh, that's right. I forgot I got this shotgun here.
Oh, but only one.
Maybe a wrench.
Only one.
Yeah.
Lucky for him.
Well, yeah, actually,
lucky for him. Fine. One shell.
Check off the necklace.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I said, oh, they're going to end up seeing the necklace and know then.
Yep. Yeah, although it was a slightly generic necklace, I get that it was recent. Yeah,
there certainly wasn't anybody else anywhere wearing a peace sign necklace in 1972. Like, those were just rare as all hell.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, I will say that while that was the impetus for her to, like, the mom to think, oh, something's not right here. She didn't go by just that. Like, then she kind of went past and started going through their luggage and finding the bloody clothes and overhearing through the paper thin walls him saying, we killed their daughter. Like,
yeah.
So
they also already saw during dinner, like, the bite mark, the blood, like, the injuries. Yeah. They already were like,
They were suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'll allow it.
Number 12, final girl, no. This is kind of the opposite, as a matter of fact.
Although she was alive, and then suddenly she was dead.
Because the original way they shot that was she was just barely alive when her parents get there, and she dies telling them about who her attackers were. And they just cut it where she's just dead. But it's like, it's such a weird, like having that scene in there at all is very odd now. And then they drag her back to the house, right? They take her body back to the house and they put her like face down in the couch, like shoved into the corner of the couch. It's like, why not just leave her crumpled up in the corner of the garage at that point? Because you're not really like.
Well, you know. She was still getting paid for being there, so.
Which, I mean, yeah, from a practical reason, I understood the filmmaking part of like, no, turn her and have her face away so we can't see that she's actually still alive. But it looks so funny to see that shot of, you know, the daughter that they lovingly brought back to the house and then just like shoved into the couch.
Aww. Number 13, the Savini scale of gore. It's not the quantity of gore, it's the quality of gore, special effects, and monsters. So how many chickens?
That's the safer one to go with.
Well, yeah. I mean,
just as long as you ain't choking them.
We could have said chomped wieners, and that would have been acceptable in my opinion.
Chomped wang doodle?
No.
Yep. So we already said that we all thought the blood was really good, and that's about it.
Yeah, they don't really show much, but what they show was good enough. So
yeah, it was very realistic looking.
Yeah. Six chickens.
Yeah, I'll give it six chickens or six wieners. I'm not really sure what I want to give it, but whatever.
I mean, I'll go five. The blood looked really good, but they intentionally didn't have the budget to show like anything else, so there was a lot of camera angle trickery. You know, we can't show you the aftermath of him putting a chainsaw to that guy in front of the sheriff.
Yeah. But,
so we'll just shoot it so you only see him from like the mid chest down, and we'll sprinkle a little extra blood on there. But the blood, like I say, the blood they did a really good job with. So,
did you say your number, Dredd?
Oh, I'll go with six as well.
Chickens?
Chicken, please.
Chicken.
Just don't overload that truck with chickens.
That's for damn sure. One more chicken and you can't drive it. And then we'll wrap up 13 for this episode. Yeah, the body count is just depressing. But, was it six?
It's six, yeah. And there's only like 10 people in the movie.
Yeah. So, if you're going to give this movie a watch, think about it before you watch it with everything that we've said now.
Think about it and also think about the sensibilities of anyone you're going to watch it with.
Mm-hmm.
That's important because this is going to be a very difficult thing to watch in general, and depending on who you're with, going to be even worse.
Yeah. Like, I can barely watch Evil Dead 1 because of the tree scene. Like, can you imagine how hard it was for me to watch this movie the first time? It's not easy. And now we'll play What the Hell Was That? It's where we play a clip from our next movie provided by our clip curator, Dredley. Play the clip, Dredley.
That's it, Alex. Now kiss her.
My sister.
Alex. Good. Now the king.
Kiss the king.
On the mouth.
Shake hands. Now step back, Alex. All right, Kim and Nick, move to the center of the floor. Now wait for your spotlights and your music cue. And dance. It'll be beautiful.
Can you guess that movie? Give it a try on Twitter. And don't forget to tag the show. And if no one guesses it, we'll still post our gift clues. So be sure to follow us at Gore Podcast. First person to guess it correctly gets a shout out in the next episode. And you can be like Busy Zombie Lord who guessed Event Horizon correctly. Good job. We didn't get any emails, but if you'd like to email the show, you can do that at gorepodcast13@gmail.com. We have a Patreon, so if you'd like to support us, it's patreon.com/gore13. And we have a website created by the wonderful Bumby. So go check it out, gorepodcast.com. You can find all the links and everything, listen to the show. It's really awesome. And if you'd like to support us in some non-monetary ways, leave a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice. I mean, you can leave any number of stars, but, you know, 5 is just, you know, 5. It's the magic number. But until next time, Travis, where can people find you?
You can find me at, I have a website also made by the wonderful Bombats, which is tvstravis.com, any social network. I'm most active probably on Twitter or Instagram if you want pictures of my dog, Bella.
Aw. Faye, where can people find you?
Well, I don't have a website, but you can find me on Twitter at Chibi Faye Lynn.
Get working on that, Bombi.
Stop making him do stuff. No. And finally, Dredley, tell people how they can travel to the bowels of hell to find you.
Well, you can just go to my website, created not by Bombi, at thedreadzone.com. And where can people find you, kitten of wickedness?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter and Twitch at WickedKitten13. Because that's where I am. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And I hope we made it a little harder to fall asleep tonight.
If God had meant women to go around with their bust exposed, Mary Collingwood, he wouldn't have given us clothes.